Welcome to Fronteras, a program that explores issues at the border and beyond through the lens of arts, culture, and history. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. The Mexican-American civil rights movement almost ran parallel to the Black civil rights movement in the 1960s. Latino communities, particularly in the Southwest, were subject to displacement due to urban renewal, discrimination in schools, police brutality, and murder at the hands of authorities. Injustices sparked a movement that included school walkouts, increased voter registration, and even the creation of a short-lived political party. Not much is taught today about the Crystal City, Uvalde, or Edgewood school walkouts, or the police murder of Santos Rodriguez, or the voter registration efforts of Willy Velazquez, or of the Raza Unida party. One San Antonio-based organization is making it its mission to inform and educate about forgotten chapters of civil rights history, histories that are often only shared at family gatherings and gradually lost to time. The Mexican-American Civil Rights Institute, MACRI, was founded 5 years ago to chronicle this history and advance current civil rights efforts in the U.S. MACRI's executive director, Dr. Sarah Sanaida Gould, joins us today to talk about the advances MACRI has made in the last 5 years and how it will mark the anniversary.
MACRI was founded in 2019, and several things came together in order for that to happen. I think for many years, people had an idea that, you know, we should really be documenting Mexican-American civil rights history, particularly in a place like San Antonio, which has long been a cradle of Mexican-American civil rights activity, advocacy, and labor. But in 2018 and 2019, we had two big 50th anniversaries here in San Antonio, one for the 50th anniversary of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights hearings that happened here, and one for the school walkouts that happened here. In the wake of those big 50th anniversary commemorations, conversations really got more intense. The folks who were at those events are senior citizens now. We've already lost some. There's not going to be a 100th anniversary where we have people who were actually there reminiscing on what they experienced. So how are we documenting, recording, and keeping these stories alive? How are we making sure that future generations know this history? And again, we need a place here in San Antonio that does that. We took this idea to the San Antonio City Council, and we got amazing support, an amazing response. And so the city provided 2 years of seed funding to MACRI. And we received that in September of 2019. Of course, a few months later, the pandemic hit. So I was hired in July of 2020 as the executive director. And my job was to figure out, how do we take this organization essentially virtual? Strangely enough, it was the right time, I guess, to try to do something like that, because a lot of people were at home looking for things to keep themselves occupied. And we were able to grow a huge online audience through virtual programs that we were creating. Just in that first year, we had over 25,000 people watch our virtual programs. And about half were from the San Antonio area, and about half were from other parts of the United States. That part was a little bit surprising to me. Of course, I know that Mexican Americans are everywhere in the U.S., but the fact that people were tuning in and wanted to know more, that was fantastic. I also think it's very revealing of the fact that many of us never learned this history in school, that it's only been since maybe the 1990s that there's really been a steady output of scholarship on Mexican-American civil rights history. So for many of us, if we don't have an advanced degree in history or Mexican-American studies, we just don't know this other than maybe some family stories. So I think that we kind of hit a topic that people want to know more about. And I also just think that, you know, in general, what we have seen in the United States is people do love history, even if they don't come right out and tell you, I love history. the types of entertainment that people like to engage in, the types of storytelling events that people enjoy, that's history. You know, a statistic that people love in the museum world, a statistic that people love to throw around is that there are more museums in the United States than there are McDonald's and Starbucks combined.
Wow. And that is,
yeah. There's a lot of museums in this country. But what Makri is trying to point out, what I am trying to point out is that's true. And there are some fantastic museums and I hope you get to go. But at this point, there is no Mexican-American Civil Rights History Museum. So that's what Makri is trying to do. We are trying to not only continue to create this online educational programming that we've been doing that has found an audience, but we want to have a public-facing space that can provide exhibits, programs, workshops on Mexican-American Civil Rights History so that people will be conversant in this, and particularly in places like San Antonio, where we have large Mexican-American populations. And honestly, now, you know, Mexican-Americans are the largest demographic in all of Texas. We need to know who we are. We need to know that we have been working to advance democracy for all four generations. We need to know how embedded in this country we are and have been and will continue to be. And I think that learning about the past and learning about the ways that people who look like us and talk like us were able to contribute to democracy, that's very empowering. And I think it tells you, I can do this too.
I'm curious to know when it was that you came across that I didn't know that moment and when that sort of flipped the switch for you to follow your path.
You know, I grew up in Texas. I'm a native Texan, and my grandparents were really active in LULAC. And so you might think that I grew up always knowing this stuff, but I did not. And in fact, I went off to college in Massachusetts. And it was when I got to college in Massachusetts that I think I really said, wow, I am Mexican.
You're from a community where everybody looks like you, right? And then you go somewhere where you're not, and then you realize how different you are.
Exactly. But also realizing that there were gaps in my knowledge. And when I came back for the first summer after going off to college, I came back to Houston, and I wanted to know more. And so luckily, I was able to enroll in a summer class at the University of Houston in Mexican-American Studies, because I went to Smith College, which is a wonderful place, but they did not have Mexican-American Studies. So coming home after having this sort of realization about, oh, wow, you know, I'm really Mexican. I needed to know more. I needed to find out more. So I was able to take a summer class at the University of Houston, which was really helpful and helped me start thinking more about how do I pursue this information.
And now here you are directing what hopefully will be an entry point into this Mexican-American Civil Rights Museum. I know you're sort of talking about that as an idea, but is there anything solid that you are looking at right now where it might happen?
Yes. Yeah, so we grew quite a bit during the pandemic in terms of expanding what we were offering online. We created a virtual exhibit on our website, which you can visit at somosmacri.org/Chispas. But we also started thinking about, well, what's next for us? And so as the pandemic started to taper off a bit, we started looking for a temporary physical home. And temporary, I probably mean somewhere between 5 and 10 years, because this is a process. But we were able to get a building in the historic West Side. We have a little visitor center at the corner of Buena Vista and Navidad. And so we now have a space where we can do in-person programming, where we can have displays of artifacts that we've been collecting. And we'll actually be opening a small exhibit later this summer on Alonso Perales there. Alonso Perales being a very important Mexican-American civil rights trailblazer, civil rights lawyer who was involved in not only advocating for the Mexican-American community, but also organizing the Mexican-American community to create coalitions of people to advocate, you know, in big groups. He's considered the intellectual founder of LULAC, so he's an important figure. But with that visitor center space, we're able to sort of demonstrate what is possible on a very small scale. In addition to the visitor center that we now have, we also recently were able to hire Ford Powell Carson, a local sort of renowned architecture firm, which I'm so thrilled that we were able to get them. They have a Latino principal architect there now named Nathan Perez, who we're working with on a site feasibility study for a permanent location. So we are looking to, down the road, having a larger permanent location. And again, the idea here is that this would be the public-facing side of Macri, where we could present exhibits, where we could have public programs. We could potentially have, you know, a classroom for workshops or visiting school students. Behind the scenes, we would continue to do collecting of archival materials, supporting research, that sort of thing. But we want something that is accessible to families, to school kids, to senior citizen groups. We believe that people of all ages should know this. So that's the plan.
Sarah Zenaida Gould is a public historian and is the executive director of the Mexican American Civil Rights Institute. When we come back, Gould says there's a lack of Latino museums in the U.S.
And that has a lot to do with funding. And so now that there is this new federal grant for Latino museums, we hope to see more Latino museums coming down the pipeline.
Macri plans to be one of those museums. Our conversation continues next on Fronteras. Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. The Mexican American Civil Rights Institute, MACRI, is based in San Antonio, where many civil rights movements and organizations were launched. The Southwest Voter Registration Education Project, the Mexican American Youth Organization, the Raza Unida Party, and the Mexican American Legal Defense and Educational Fund, MALDEF, all have ties to the city. MACRI will mark its fifth anniversary next weekend with a symposium featuring over two dozen guest speakers from across the country and a variety of panels. MACRI's executive director, Sarah Zenaida Gould, says the fifth anniversary actually kicks off a few days prior with a celebratory luncheon.
First, we are having a luncheon on May the 15th, which will have a little bit of looking back and looking forward presentation in terms of what we've accomplished in our first 5 years and where we want to go in the future. We'll also have a panel of museum leaders who will be talking about museums as community spaces for engaging civil and human rights. So we have some wonderful museum leaders joining us. Beth Takakawa from the Wing Luke Museum in Seattle, which is the only pan-Asian museum in the U.S. and just does amazing community engagement work. We also have Mary Pat Higgins from the Dallas Holocaust and Human Rights Museum to talk about how they have really expanded the scope of what they're doing to include not only international human rights, but also African-American civil rights, Mexican-American civil rights. So they're really thinking broadly about human rights. And then Laura Huerta Migas, who's the deputy director of the Institute of Museum and Library Services, which is a federal agency that provides funding to libraries and museums. For many years, they have had special pools of money for African American and Native American museums. But only recently, through an act of Congress, they were able to create a pool for Latino museums. So if you're wondering, where are the Latino museums? Well, quite frankly, there aren't very many. And that has a lot to do with funding. And so now that there is this new federal grant for Latino museums, we hope to see more Latino museums coming down the pipeline. Macri is ready to be one of those. And in fact, I'm so proud to say that in the first year of grants that IMLS was able to offer for the Latino Museums program, we are a beneficiary. So we are a partner with University of North Texas, who received one of these initial grants. And so we will be receiving some archival interns. They're master students at the University of North Texas. And so they will be getting those interns this summer. And, you know, they're trying to create a pipeline of getting more folks into Latino serving and Latino representing museums. So that'll be on Wednesday, May 15th. Then our symposium is a two-day event, May 17th and May 18th. It is at the Central Library in downtown San Antonio, and it is free. However, we do need folks to register on our website so that we can make sure we've got a seat for you. So 2 days from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Friday and Saturday, we've got over two dozen speakers coming, and we'll be covering topics such as the state of Mexican-American civil rights in 2024. We have a great panel of military veterans who will be talking about the history of Mexican-American military service, as well as the opportunities and challenges that military service presents. We have a panel on youth voting in 2024. Right now, our youth population, people who are 18 to 30, they're one of the largest voting blocks in the country, but we do see some challenges in getting them to the polls. So we're going to have a panel on that. Friday, our opening speaker is going to be Julian Castro, former mayor of San Antonio and now the CEO of the Latino Community Foundation. And on Saturday, our opening address is with Yulisa Arce, amazing writer. She writes a lot of memoir, but she also writes about immigration and civil rights, so she'll be speaking to those points. We've also got David Vela giving a keynote on Saturday. He's the former acting director of the National Park Service. He was the highest ranking Latino in the National Park Service history, and he's a native Texan, and he's going to be talking about his career in public service and the role of the National Park Service in preserving American history, including Latino history. We also have a panel on Latino representation in news media, which may be of interest to TPR listeners. We've got Luis Patiño from the Austin PBS. We've got Sylvia Foster Frau, a national investigative reporter from the Washington Post, and Lucy Flores, founder of Loose Media, which is sort of a new way of trying to get news to the younger generations, Generation Z. Then we have a panel on the arts and civil rights, and we'll be talking about all those intersections between arts and civil rights, past and present. And then finally, we'll have a roundtable with a new initiative called the Willie Velasquez Leadership, which will feature a conversation around how do we create a pipeline of new leaders focusing on civil rights issues in the Latino community. It's going to be a packed 2 days. We're really excited about it.
You are also offering this virtually, so people who are not listening in San Antonio, they still have an opportunity to go to, I don't know, to Macri, to YouTube. How will people be able to view it, and do they have to register as well?
We would love for you to register through our website, and we will send you the links to watch it online. By registering, honestly, it helps us show our funders, you know, how many people are interested in this. So that's why we ask you to register. However, if you forget, just go to our YouTube page and it'll be live streaming on our YouTube page.
You have this incredible lineup, and obviously it requires a lot of effort, a lot of financing in order to bring so many of these amazing people in. So obviously Macri isn't just existing in a cloud. You are actively looking for funds.
Absolutely. It takes a village. TPR listeners know it takes a village.
Yes.
We have been very fortunate to already receive a number of sponsorships, but we could absolutely use some more sponsorships. There is information about that on our webpage, too, if you're interested in making a contribution. The symposium is free. We do offer some what we're calling premium packages, where you pay a little bit and we send you a little bit of Macri swag, and that just helps offset our costs. It's always important to us that we figure out how to offer these programs for free. I think in so many instances, our community has been denied this information or just hasn't had access to this information. And so we want to break down those barriers to knowledge. But yes, it costs money to do all of this. So if you have the means, we are happy to take donations or sponsorships for this event.
And Macri is still hosting also those virtual conversations, and I know you've had, you know, some amazing ones in the past, including, you know, marking anniversaries of very important court cases, talking about little known facts about Mexican American history. What are some of the ones that you have coming up?
Yes. So this summer, we're doing what we're calling a virtual summer road trip, where we're going to visit with some scholars who have written about Mexican Americans in different cities. So we'll be going to Wisconsin, Kansas City, and Los Angeles. And so those will be virtual events happening this summer. And you can find more information about those on our website at somosmacri.org.
And I know by the time this program airs, this deadline would have been over, but I know you had been collecting videos of interest by people with some sort of remembrance or something to say marking Macri's fifth anniversary. Can you tell us a little bit about that effort?
Absolutely. If you would like to submit a video, and it's okay if you submit it after our symposium, but if you do submit it before the symposium, we might include it in a clip during some of the interludes, little breaks during the symposium. But we're collecting videos on what's a memory you have about Mexican-American civil rights, or if you'd like to make a comment about Macri, what Macri means to you, what your hopes are for the future of Macri, maybe what's an event that you've attended with Macri that you really enjoyed. But we're collecting testimonials from people, and it is our fifth birthday, so we'll probably be sharing these throughout the year. So we would love to get them before May 13th, if possible, but if not, send it along anyway. If you have a story to share, we ask that you record it either with your phone or your smartphone or your tablet, or you can do it on Zoom, and then email it to info@somosmacri.org.
Dr. Sarah Zenaida Gould is the executive director of the Mexican-American Civil Rights Institute. Macri hosts a free symposium May 17th and 18th at the Central Library in downtown San Antonio. The symposium will also be live streamed. It's free, but registration is recommended for both in-person and online attendance. Registration info is at tpr.org. Macri is also asking the community to share their memories of the Mexican-American civil rights movement or to commemorate Macri's fifth anniversary. Share video from your phone, tablet, or Zoom to info@somosmacri.org. We'll have details on our website. Again, that's tpr.org. Thanks for joining us today for Fronteras. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Maria Navarro. Our executive producer is Dan Katz. Our editor is Fernando Ortiz Jr. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. Hear past episodes at tpr.org and on the Fronteras podcast. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.